This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Exxaro, which is more than just a coal company, it's got diversified resources in titanium, ferrous and energy markets, released good results at the halfway mark, despite revenue of 12 billion only slightly down by 2%. HEPS were up 42%, and a notable achievement given that coal and other commodity pricing declined sharply in the period, and we've had strong inflationary pressures, and that robust performance of the group's investment boosted results, which translated into an interim cash dividend for shareholders of 864 cents per share. And Exxaro's further return to shareholders the proceeds of the Tronox disposals to date as promised. That's in the form of a special divvy of 897 cents a share. So shareholders, no doubt, smiling. CEO Mkhalisi Mgojo joins us now. Good evening, Mkhalisi.
Good evening, thank you. Thank you for the invite.
Now, the period saw you attain several key strategic and operational milestones. Let's start with your coal operations, all but one in Mpumalanga reporting profitability. Considering this environment of lower prices and indeed rising inflation, what's driving that performance?
I think, Michael, we have been very cognizant of the fact that, you know, one cannot manage and control prices or exchange rate or geopolitical issues. So by and large, you know, over the last 3 years, our primary focus has been on those things that we control. So we started with a program some years back, an operational excellence program, and then we coupled that about 18 months ago with our innovation strategy, right, utilizing our new digital platform insofar as further enhancing that performance of our operations, where now we are able to have much better insights because we can see the value chain of our businesses from end to end. And we're able now to make much more informed decision in better on time and being able to now make the right decision to drive those performances and those efficiencies and the productivities. And I think also another contributing factor is that we have been working very hard insofar as actually managing our capital program, expansion capital program, whereby we were able to bring in the Belfast mine 6 months into production, much earlier than what was originally planned. And that is beginning to contribute in the volume that we have started seeing in the first half, which are going to increase by another million tons in the second half. And that is production that is also going to be creating this RB1 product, which is the product we've always been saying that will comprise the higher percentage of our product mix going forward. So we've been managing to really do as much as we can on all those controllables, having a suite of products that we are able to respond to the market with. And you would have seen that we've also introduced a new product called the RB2, because the RB2 was much more in demand in this market than the RB1 product. So we have tried to ensure that we've got a really strong repertoire of products that are able to enable us to respond to the market as and when, whether in the international market or into the domestic market.
Yeah, that's a strategy clearly paying off for you. But the Belfast implementation project is the last good quality A-grade high-yield coal deposit in Mpumalanga. And bringing that forward by 6 months is certainly to be commended by your management team. I believe that was a first-of-its-kind digital mine, that you use this so-called digital twin technology that I know Siemens loves to talk about. What exactly does a digital mine offer you?
Well, first of all, what we do is that we create the whole mine digitally. So in a digital now, you are able to optimize the mine even much better before you do the physical construction. And once you've been able to optimize the mine most efficiently, you are then able, as you are actually producing the, constructing the mine, do that on the comparative basis of the twin itself, so that you get in a mine that is highly optimized right from the beginning because it has been optimized digitally. On top of that, now you put the whole digital platform on the mine itself so that you bring all these capabilities of data analytics, also AI, into the mine itself to be able to create those huge big step changes in terms of productivity that we were talking about.
I know there are some people who are rather cynical when you use terms like fourth industrial revolution, but here's an example of a relatively old world industry like mining adopting these very advanced technologies and achieving the results with them, which is quite clear in the Belfast project. Talk to me about the other big macro theme that's buffeting the coal industry at the moment. And we've been talking quite extensively on the show tonight about the rise in climate change activism from shareholders, from institutional investors, pension funds. And there's this global drive towards lower carbon emissions and regulations addressing things like climate change. That's obviously one of the big challenges for a firm like yourselves, because you're in the coal space. What sort of impact is that having on the business? For example, the carbon tax, what expected impact do you expect that to have on the business?
I think in the stage one of the carbon tax, it's not that much significant right now, but we are concerned about what's going to happen, you know, in 2023, because the concessions that we got, you know, in the first stage of the carbon tax regime have not been clearly defined. So we are very much concerned about the rising costs associated with that. But we as Exxaro are taking this whole issue of climate change quite seriously, insofar as looking at how we're going to respond to it. How do we transition our business from a what is seemingly a business that is a fossil fuel associated with climate change issues, and then transitioning that into a low carbon economy? And hence why we've also been saying that in looking at even as our current coal business, we want to be able to extract value by actually bringing some of the value much earlier than longer, so that we don't actually end up with stranded assets whilst we are looking at other opportunities. For instance, we've highlighted today that we are working with Anglo now in terms of revisiting that Moranbah hard coking coal project that's in Australia, so that we can start diversifying into hard coking coal away from thermal coal. And we've also, with our play within Synergy, which is our renewable business, these are some of the opportunities that we are seeing, because we already now have a 50-50 JV with Tata Power, and we see renewable energy as an area of focus going into the future. But we are also cognizant that in this transition, it has to be a just transition, given the fact that, you know, we've got high unemployment in this country, higher inequality, and in that transition, you have to be able to manage and balance between addressing these critical issues around an economy that is actually not growing, but also needing to be very conscious of climate change issues, because we've made commitments as a country. But how do we do it in such a manner that it's not one or the other, but transition in a way that over time we're able to also ensure that those benefits as we transition are also flowing into the communities and into broader society. So those are the challenges that we are facing in this transition. But certainly, as a company, we are cognizant. We're beginning to see the impact of our climate change on our business. It's getting more challenging to get insurance cover for your businesses. And even if you do, the cost of insurance is becoming much more costly. We've also seen what has happened with our Thabametsi coal IPP project, where we were supposed to be supporting Marubeni with coal supply into their coal-fired power station. How the NGOs in that respect have really been very against that project. The banks have been against that project. So therefore, it could mean that the asset in itself would have to think differently beyond just possibly supplying coal to a coal IPP, which may or may not happen. Mm-hmm. We don't know. But how do we look at that asset and those resources in a way, different ways, insofar as then we can extract as much value out of that much earlier, so that, again, we don't end up with stranded assets. So it's something that we are taking very, very seriously.
Very interesting that, as we do see, the so-called ESG issues, which were very much in the backwater around 15 years ago, having a very real impact on business. On the safety side of things, obviously, mining is an inherently dangerous business, but the industry overall is trying its hardest to ensure that it improves its safety. Your long-term trend has continued since 2015 of an improving injury frequency ratio. That's declined 24% over the last 4 years. You did have a slightly worse LTIFR of 0.13 in this period. Why is this?
Well, what you've seen is that we've been driving a very aggressive expansion program in terms of various projects that we are doing. Belfast, GT6 Phase 2, which has resulted in an increase of over 3,900 new contractors within our operations. And that is something that you also have to really manage very hard. So to the extent that we've basically almost got 4,000 new people that are there on a temporary basis in our site, we have to drive safety as aggressively as we can. And if you look at that type of increase in terms of our LTFR is actually still quite commendable. But if you actually look at it on a half year basis, you will see that in second half of 2018, it was 0.15. It has come down to 0.14 now overall. That's the coal side. And that was a 7% decline in terms of the incidences. So we are trending in the right direction. What is most commendable and which we are very proud of is that we've gone now 29 months fatality-free.
And that is something that must be commended. And Khaleesi, there's also a growing sense, just as we zoom out, of frustration among business leaders at the slow pace of economic reform in South Africa. What are your thoughts on where we find ourselves as a country and the role of business now in ensuring that we really do focus on growth above all else?
You know, you are raising a very, very important point whereby we are saying as business that, you know, we are able and willing and have been in conversation with government as to how we can play a role in addressing some of these challenges. But there's a fundamental requirement from business that we really cannot wait and sit on the sideline and wait for the government to act. I mean, it's critical that we really implore the government to adopt a clear plan to implement, you know, these vital structural reforms that will consolidate the government expenditure, they reduce the fiscal pressure and debt, and rapidly reform and restructure so is. We are willing and we've made it as clear as business that we want to support the government in this initiative so that we can get our economy back to health.
That was Exxaro CEO Khaleesi Mgojwa being unequivocal about the need to speed up economic reform. And that's a wrap from the team tonight. Thanks to sound engineers Mataba Taba Radebe in Joburg, Mawanda Lorbe in Cape Town. And as always, the fine work of producer Andries Mahlangu. Saan Mohammed up next for you in the Jazz Lounge. And in Gauteng, Carolyn Staines winding down. Good night.